You know, it's hard not to think about that horrific incident at the school that took place in Georgia. And I, unfortunately, that's all too common. But it was a 14-year-old that was doing the shooting and that actually killed two people and injured two people and shot, and well, I guess killed four people and injured another nine people. This is just something you wouldn't think about. But thank goodness there are people like Irish Birch. She's the CEO of Children's Advocacy Center here in Dallas. She's worked with kids, and especially at-risk kids, for 30 years. First of all, and she joins us right now. First of all, congratulations. 30 years is like four lifetimes in that business, I'm sure.
It's exactly what it feels like, four or five different lifetimes.
So you're dealing with, and you see kids at their worst, and ideally they exit at their best. But I mean, a 14-year-old, what? I didn't think a 14-year-old was capable of doing something like that.
You know, you can never begin to imagine how these types of things happen and what is initially going on in someone's mind. When you see children and children go through different events throughout their lifespan, you just never know exactly how it's going to impact them. I don't know the history right now behind his upbringing and the things and the challenges that he might have faced in school and what he's been through. But the reality is, this is a very sad day for America. This is a sad day for those families. And it's such a traumatic event that we want at any opportunity is to ensure that we prevent these types of things from happening and making sure that we are paying attention to our children and ensuring that we're in tune with them as much as we can be in order to be able to identify when something is going terribly wrong.
Well, you all are involved in sort of the investigation and the prosecution and the healing of some of the most severe cases that we see of child abuse and other things in Dallas County. Is there a common thread?
So really, for our agency, it's not necessarily a common thread per se. It is just the fact that we're going to see any case that rises to a level of a criminal offense. And the main priority is really for people to look for different symptoms. I think I would say, if not necessarily threats, but symptoms that you can look for. If you have a child that is in school and that child is thriving and all of a sudden there's behavior changes that are completely different for that child, if their grades are failing, if a child is sometimes hesitant to be with a caretaker that they've always been with in the past, for us, the cases that we're going to see, those children are usually going to be offended by someone they know and love. So they are coming to us because a teacher, a parent, a caretaker has offended them. They violated them, and they are coming to us for us to be able to help them to get through that process.
You know, I was reading someplace. Your profile, your typical would be a 9-year-old girl who's been abused by maybe a member of the family?
Yeah, so our average age client is a 9-year-old female that's usually been offended. So the cases we're going to see are going to be sexual abuse cases, sexual exploitation cases, severe physical abuse cases, so something where that child needed medical treatment and it was a severe traumatic event. And then also we're going to interview witnesses to homicide. Those homicide cases are going to be witnesses to their sibling that may have been murdered at the hands of a caretaker. So when these children are coming to us, they're coming because they said to someone that something is happening to me in my home, in another place, and that we are responsible for then bringing together all of those investigative parties to ensure that the investigation goes off in a way that is not traumatic to that child, that child's not telling that story over and over again. And then also, because a lot of times we remove the main breadwinner from the home, we need to make sure that that family has the resources, the therapy, all of the services that they need in order for this not to be a lifelong impact for them. So you don't see a child that goes down a very dark path because they didn't get any help.
So how does a child
that have happened to them?
How does a child find their way to you, to the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center?
That's a great question. So they're going to come to us a couple of ways. Either a child is going to come to us from a law enforcement referral, meaning an incident has happened, they've called the police are going to contact us, but also they're going to come to us from CPS. Majority of our referrals will come strictly from the child abuse hotline. So on last year, I believe we read over 30,000 reports of child abuse that came into Dallas County. So
30,000?
Over 30,000 reports of child abuse and neglect came into Dallas County. This is not for the full state of Texas. This is Dallas County only. And so we have a team of individuals that read those referrals to identify our specific case criteria that I described. And then they're going to make sure they're reaching out to law enforcement and CPS, and we're going to coordinate to ensure that that child gets into our services and ensure that they start throughout the process. So children, as soon as they tell a teacher, that teacher is going to make that CPS referral. If they are at home and they call law enforcement is going to make that referral, but everything is going to tie back into our center.
So what's the process? I guess it's different with every kid.
Well, the primary process is one. So when a child comes through our doors and the non-offending caregivers, those protected family members, this sometimes is the worst day of their lives. Oh, they have no idea what is going on. That child literally may have just said to that teacher that something is going on in their house because they wanted it to stop, not to get anybody in trouble, but because they wanted it to stop. So when they come through our doors, our team is right there immediately to greet them from the time they check in at the receptionist desk. We'll have a family advocate that will talk to them to help explain what's going to happen today. And then we have specialized forensic interviewers. So our goal is to be able to sit down with that child. And it is actually how I started at the advocacy center. I was a forensic interviewer. So my role was when the child came and the family came into the center to sit down to interview that child in the room only with me and that child while our investigating parties were watching, and to be able to gather that information in a way that's not traumatic, in a way that allows the child to tell the story in a way that is healing for them, but also in an investigative way in order for me to gather the things that the investigative parties would need in order to be able to corroborate what that child is or is not saying. And so once we've interviewed that child, law enforcement, CPS are watching. They're going to talk to the protective caregivers that are here. Law enforcement is going to take on the investigation to ensure that they are interviewing the alleged perpetrators. And then as well as CPS is going to be assessing the safety of the home. In the meantime, we're sitting with that family the entire time after that interview. That child and that family is going to go back to our family support services. We're going to make sure that they understand what happens from this point on, but then also immediately get them assessed for services. Every single thing that we provide here is free of charge. So therapy services, when they're preparing to go for court, our family advocates will go to court with them. We prepare them for court. We will sometimes actually also make over rooms. As you can imagine, if it is a case of sexual abuse and it's in someone's home, that abuse has been taking place in the room that they sleep in or part of that house. So then how do we change that environment? And so our organization is going to be from the very beginning of the investigation, ensuring that all of those things are working together, but then also throughout the rest of that journey to make sure, can we ensure your home environment is better? Can we also make sure that you and not just the victim, but all of the family members that have been impacted by this can come into our services?
So are you a county agency? Are you funded by the county or the city?
We are a nonprofit agency, so we receive some state funding, some federal funding, but then also private funding.
So you're fundraising all the time.
We fundraise. Yes, absolutely. We're a nonprofit.
How do you recruit people like you to do the counseling? It must take a very special person because there's nothing more troubling than hearing some of these stories time after time, day after day.
I will tell you, after being in this space for 30 years, I started out in CPS. I thought when I worked at Child Protective Services, you know, I would say, oh, I've seen it all, heard it all. Then I came to the Advocacy Center. So that is like a thing that nobody says. We do not say those things because sure enough, when you say that, then something comes along and it shocks you. I will tell you about the team of individuals and not just the people who work within our organization, but the partner agencies. Because we can't do this alone. So we work with 32 different partner agencies along with law enforcement, CPS, the DA's office, and the pediatric medical community. And what we do is these people come together to, one, ensure that these children, that they have the support and the services that they need. And for us, It is because we know what's on the other side when we do our jobs. That's the thing that makes you show up every single day. It's the thing that makes you keep coming back, because the reality is you're coming to me on your worst day, but I actually believe it's going to be your best day, because I'm going to make sure that the abuse stops after you leave here. Yeah. We're going to ensure that you have the services. And I know when we finish with therapy and getting you everything you need, you're going to thrive like never before. These kids are so resilient. They just need someone to help them, and they need someone to see them. And that's what we do. These people that work here and work in this space, you come back every day because these kids need you, and you know this model works.
30 years is just remarkable, but thank goodness you are there. The president and CEO of the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center is Iris Birch, our guest today. It's good to have some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.